Contra Radio Network presents The Growing Homestead with your host, Rob Alberucci.
Everybody, to another episode of The Growing Homestead. I'm your host, Rob Alberucci. As always, I'd like to thank Contra Radio Network, John Jeffers, for allowing us to have the show on. As always, would like to everybody to check out the live 365 feed. Check us out on Podbean, and always keep track of the Contra Radio Network is now on MeWe. So if you're on MeWe, go check that out. And then we still do have the page on Facebook. And always be on the lookout for the next raffle offs and drawings and all that kind of fun stuff. So stay tuned, everybody. Tonight I was going to talk about water, rain catchment systems, cisterns, wells, and whatever you got. Before I get into that a little bit, just kind of do a little farm update, homestead update. Been going through a bunch of home remodeling, so that's kind of due with the crazy schedule a little bit. I usually film this on Monday nights, and now here we are Thursday. So we've just been doing some small stuff on the inside of the house, new flooring, countertops, backsplash, and in the process of building a new dining room table, all kinds of fun stuff. If it would ever stop snowing here in mid-April, we'll finally start working on a garden, but for some reason we can't get the snow to quit. So anyway, we do have some of our We Raise Royal Palm Turkeys here. We currently have 2 toms and 6 hens, and as of right now, we have 3 of the hens are on eggs. Hopefully in the next 21 to 25 days or so, we will start having some baby turkey poults. So that's always an exciting part of the year here. But now start to get back on topic. Where I live here, we do not have any water. When I bought this property, there was no well, so I decided to go ahead and put a cistern in. We have about a 5,500-gallon pre-manufactured concrete cistern that we had buried. I put a metal roof on the house because I knew I was going to have the cistern in. Was not really crazy about catching water off of an asphalt shingled roof. And plus, I just like the look of the metal roof and like the sound of when rain comes. We do not have many trees or that kind of stuff that are directly around the house. Leaves are not a problem. We still do filter our water. So we do catch the water off the roof through the gutters. And then it goes into the 5,500-gallon cistern. There is a pressure tank and a pump in my basement that kicks off and on. And I have dual filters down there. Just your typical, it's like a wound string type of a filter. That goes into the first one to catch the heavy sediment. And then that flows into a charcoal-style cartridge filter to just help purify the water a little bit more. And then we also treat our water with unscented, typical laundry chlorine bleach, the cheap stuff that you can find. Just make sure whatever you use is the unscented. Now, there is a lot of controversy, but the amounts to put in seem to really, really vary all over the board. Like I said, ours is 5,500 gallons. Doing some hunting around today on the internet, I've seen everything from some websites are saying to put 3 cups per 100 gallons. If I do the math, that's about 9 gallons of bleach in my 5,500-gallon cistern. I know from past experience that when I dump a gallon of it in it, I can smell it coming out of the tap and out of the shower and what have you. So there would be, if I dump 9 gallons into that thing, it'd be melting our eyes off, and I wouldn't even want to shower it, much less drink it or what have you. I will say that a lot of times we do buy bottled water that we drink, but for general bathing, laundry, clothing, cooking, ice, and we do drink this water from time to time, but a lot of times we do drink bottled water. At some point in time, I would like to step up to like a Berkey filter, or even just a whole house reverse osmosis would be something to check into. But as for right now, like everybody else, we're not independently wealthy. And it just seems like there's always something else that comes up on the line to occupy our paychecks. As you all know from my past shows, we do have livestock here on the property. I have a separate 300-gallon, one of them, they call them an IBC tote. They are like a 4 foot by 4 foot by almost 4 foot tall, the plastic cube that are in like the steel crate, like on a skid. They hold, you can buy them in all ranges of sizes, anywhere from 200 gallons to 250 to 300 gallons is about the biggest I've seen. And we have a 300-gallon tote that I have a gutter on one side of my barn, and that runs through a 2-inch piece of a piece of PVC pipe that's 2 inches, and that goes down and fills my 300-gallon tote. And I have that built up on a wooden stand where I can stick a 5-gallon bucket underneath the valve. I put a little 90-degree elbow on the valve, fill a 5-gallon bucket, and it just so happens to work out that right next to where this IBC tote is where my main water bucket is for the goats and the pigs, and everything's not too far away. So I can just fill my 5-gallon bucket and dump it right into their tote or into their water bowl. I have had a hose that was hooked up to it there for a while and just hit the valve and let it go, but it seemed to be kind of more of a pain than it was helpful. The water for the animals, I don't have any filters on it. Don't really have a whole lot of a need. I don't really think it's a need. If you watch animals out in the wild, they're drinking puddles and who knows what. So I really don't see much of an issue haven't had an issue. The animals don't shy away from the water. During the hot summer months, I will drop a small, we have a swimming pool here, so we have the chlorine tablets. I will drop one of the small ones in there. It's about the size of a half dollar, maybe 3/4 of an inch thick. I will drop one of those in there in the heat of the summertime just to keep the algae control. Also, painting the tank black will pretty much stop most of your algae growth. And I use that tank all year round. During the winter months, I will put one of them bucket heaters. They're made for a 5-gallon bucket. I want to say they're about 1500 watts. I will drop one of those in the top of that 300-gallon tank, and that tank will stay warm to the touch. No, not much of an issue. If need be, you can take some of that foil wrap insulation. It's like a bubble wrap, and I have wrapped my tank with that in the past and then put a piece of like 2-inch styrofoam across the top of it to keep it from wanting to freeze up during the real cold time. But here in Southeast Indiana, we do get a spell where it'll get in the negatives, and I still haven't had an issue with it. That 1,500-watt heater, I'm not going to say it's the cheapest thing in the world to run, but it does the job, and it's not too hateful. One thing that I've been interested in doing out here is having a well dug. We have a lot of old farms that border me around in the neighborhood that have old hand-laid, hand-dug, stone-cased wells. The water table here in Southeast Indiana ranges anywhere from about 28 to 32 feet, which is not too hateful to have dug. But at that depth, the water rate on that only runs between 1 to 2 gallons per minute. So it's not really anything extravagant. I happened to contact a company that digs wells in my area this past week, and I was talking to them. Typically what they do when they drill a well, they put in anywhere from a 4-inch to an 8-inch steel casing into the well that they drill. Well, when you've only got 1.5 gallons or 2 gallons a minute, an 8-inch pipe doesn't really hold a whole lot. So what I'm finding out is a lot of those hand-dug stone wells are what they call a bucket well, and they may be like 2 feet in diameter, and they go down between like 40 and 50 feet. So in essence, what you have is you have a spring-fed cistern. So if your water table is at 28 to 30 feet, then you have an additional 20 feet of depth that's filling up and storing your water for you. I've been doing some searching around on YouTube, and you see these do-it-yourself wells where these people take a 2-inch PVC or a 4-inch PVC, and they can hook a little water hose to it, and they make themselves a little, their own small little drill point on the bottom of that 4-inch pipe, and you can kind of rock it back and forth with your pipe standing straight up, and it'll actually drill itself right into the ground. And if you've got enough water pressure, a garden hose hooked to the top or what have you, it'll force the mud to the outside. So I had thoughts to do that, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going down 30 feet, not too bad. We could probably do this. Most people, these people, they've done these YouTube videos, say it takes them a day or a day and a half or whatever. So I thought, I was thinking I was going to try it. Well, if I could sink a 4-inch pipe going down, let's just say I'm going down 30 feet, a 4-inch pipe, the volume of it is, it will hold a half of a gallon of water per foot. So let's say that I go 10 feet past the water table. So now I get down to 40 feet. I've only got about 10 gallons of reserve. So I'm not quite sure if that's going to pay out. My plan was for this well is I've got a separate 2-acre pasture out in the front of my property, and I do have to haul water by buckets when I put the animals out in that front pasture. That's not the normal pasture they're in, but I rotate around. So I was hoping to dig this little well out there with my 4-inch pipe and put a hand pump on it, just the old-fashioned siphon with the leather seal hand pump. So at 2 gallons a minute, if that pipe would fill up, if I go down 40 feet or so, if I could even get the pipe to go down 40 feet, I would have maybe 10, 15 gallons in reserve. The buckets that I typically use for my feed my livestock usually holds about 30 gallons. So I'm not quite sure if that's going to pan out or not. We're going to have to check around. As far as going through and hand digging a 2-foot round well, I don't know about all that either. So I'm kind of thinking that one of our plans for this coming summer is to build a new barn out in the front of our property. And I'm thinking just gutters on the new barn with another IBC tote, and that's going to probably be my best way to go. It won't do me any good in the wintertime because there won't be any electric out there. And for solar, for a 1,500-watt heater going, that would be pretty expensive. So I'm hoping for just a couple of months, I'll probably have to be hauling water. So anyway, starting to get back to the this will probably end up being a short episode tonight. There isn't a whole lot happening with the snow still going on. We're not doing much planting. We're getting the fields in between the rain and all the snow, and we're all starting to disc our fields up a little bit. We have plans for planting the feed corn and the field peas, like we've talked about in past episodes, and we're hoping to get the potatoes in. But for anyway, as far as the water goes, that's pretty much all I've got for right now. So, like I said, I thought this was going to be about a short episode. Just wanted to get something out there. Another thing that we have plans to put an outhouse out here on this property. And I'm going to go ahead and just dig the hole down. Looking at going down about 5-6 feet. So with the placement of the outhouse versus where a well to be dug, I know there's some guidelines that can keep that far away to where your outhouse is not going to contaminate your well, but for now, I think we're just going to go ahead and just wrap this up. Just had a short little episode on just some water, and we will catch you all guys next time. Good night, everybody.